Good morning, Solomon's Porch. If we could just turn to the devotional for today. It's on page 46. Today's devotional is by Pastor Greg Anderson, who is the senior pastor of Union Church. And I'm going to read through the passage first. This is John 4:27-42. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Continuing on into the next page with the devotion. How long did it take you to figure out that Jesus is the Son of God? In John 4, the Samaritan woman goes from seeing Jesus as a Jew to a prophet to the Messiah. Our passage starts as the disciples return and get into a discussion about food with Jesus. Meanwhile, the woman at the well leaves to tell others about her encounter with the Messiah. Once she realizes who Jesus is, she goes to her own people, even though they had disowned her, and tells them about Jesus. Naturally, they want Jesus to check for themselves. Supernaturally, Jesus reveals to them who he is, and many believe because they had heard for themselves and knew that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Coming back to you, how long did you take to go from viewing Jesus as a historical figure to your Savior and Lord? One friend told me all it took was watching Billy Graham on TV. Another said he went kicking and screaming into the kingdom after a long struggle. Yet another friend has been struggling with Jesus for over 30 years and is not yet ready to commit his life to him. C.S. Lewis says the wrong question is, what are we to make of Christ? Rather, it is entirely a question of what he intends to make of us. We never figure out Christ, but he has us figured out. He knows us and is just as able to transfigure us as he was a woman of ill repute and a group of Samaritans despised by the Jews. Amen. I think for some of us, this is a passage we've heard preached on several times before. Jesus was walking. He was really tired. He stopped by the well. It was probably later in the day. And he sees this woman at the well. And because it was later in the day, it was quite unusual for women to go out to get water. Several commentaries believed that this woman was a woman of ill repute, as is mentioned here, which means she was probably a prostitute, or she was not of very high moral standing in that culture, which is probably why she was avoiding going along with all the other women earlier in the day when it was cooler to get water, but she would set out in the heat of the day to avoid encountering other people. One of the reasons she would probably have done that would have been the judgment that came from the society that she lived in. And here she is at the well, and she's filling water for herself, and Jesus comes. And Jesus is a Jew. And at that point, Jews held the Samaritans in great disdain. They didn't speak to them. And it even goes to the point where they would dust they would dust their feet when they left, and they would return to their own country because they believed that they were so much below the Jews. And so the fact that Jesus is speaking to her is really what I want to focus on today. There's so much in this passage, but it says very clearly that the disciples were surprised. And that was the first thing that struck me in this passage, is that they were surprised. They were surprised even though they believed in the Christ. They were technically believers. They were Christians. They believed that he was the Messiah, and they were surprised. Surprised, I reckon, would be a bit of an understatement. He was talking not only to a Samaritan, he was talking to a Samaritan woman, which at that they did not believe was worthy. They did not believe was worthy of their time, of their message. It was just not a done thing for a Jew to stop and speak to a Samaritan, and to top it off, a Samaritan woman. And not only that, but one who does not have a good reputation, who is so obviously here because of, in that culture, it's very obvious why she's there at this time of day. And Jesus is here, and he's talking to her, and he's talking to her about food and water and things that are eternal, not things of this world. And the reason that this word surprised in this passage spoke to me so clearly is because I'm gonna share with you my life. And for those of you that know me, I've been at church for many years. And this is something that God changed in me as well. Even though I was a Christian, I was here at church for so many years, I was serving. But in my heart, I did believe, this is a while back, and I was single, and I believed that when I got married, I wanted to marry a Christian. And not just any Christian. I wanted someone who was more spiritual, who was more mature, who fit the bill, really, who would pray in tongues, who had a better developed prayer language than me. And in a way, I wouldn't have wanted just anyone. I was like, why should I settle? I believe in God's best for my life. And it was very interesting because my mom actually challenged me, and she said to me one day, she said, you do realize that's not God's heart. And I stopped and I looked at her full of indignation. I said, what do you mean that's not God's heart? God wants me to have the very best. I believe that. He doesn't desire for me to have anything less than his best. And she said, well, yes, but and she challenged me, and she's like, how do you know what his best is? People change. And she didn't say anymore. She's very wise. She didn't say anymore. She didn't, you know, we didn't talk about it, but I came back, I traveled, I saw my mom, I came back to Hong Kong, and the Holy Spirit kept working on that little sentence that she said, that's not God's heart. And at first I was kind of like, what do you know, Ma? I do this and I do that. But the fact remains that the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me and saying, well, this is one of the biggest decisions I could make. And am I really going to not follow God's heart if that's true? As much as I wanted to ignore it, the thought kept coming back. The Holy Spirit kept saying, is that God's heart? Are you being prideful? And so for those of you who know, I met my husband in the most unusual place, in the most unusual circumstance, which comes back to putting God's kingdom first. I met him in a place that was usually frowned upon by Christians, in a bar in Lan Kwai Fong. And I didn't think of him as my husband. I remember this, and I'm saying this as God is my witness. I remember thinking, if I never see this man again, I'm going to tell him that I go to church and this is my life. Walked away from that meeting, never thought I'd see him again. He came to church the following Sunday. And I do believe, and I'm standing here as part of my word. This woman shared her word, and people came to see who Jesus was. And I'm here to share my word, my testimony, which is I put God's kingdom first. I said I will share the good news, because it is good news. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has called us chosen. And it's amazing news. And sometimes, because we've been at church for a while, it becomes old. And we're not as excited as we were when we first came to the Lord. And we're not as excited to share about him. And sometimes we see people who are not Christian, who are in Lan Kwai Fong, who are in a bar, who are drinking or at work, or who are just my workplace, who are really playing the political game at work and make life really hard for the Christian sometimes. But the fact remains that the Lord says others have sown and that we sow and reap together. And over here, the sowing and reaping, he says, do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. In this passage, the reaper is Christ. He's the one that supernaturally reveals himself and brings this woman of ill repute to him to believe that he's the Messiah. And the sowing is often done by others. In this time, it was done by John the Baptist. In our times, it's done by us. We are the sowers, and the Holy Spirit and Christ would be the reaper. And it's an invitation to partner. God says, you do the sowing, I'll do the reaping. Right? And so, do we as Christians judge sooner than we would like to admit whether people deserve or not God's word, to know who he is, to hear our testimony? Is it sometimes easier to just turn away and leave it for somebody else to take care of? The title of the message is Figuring Out Jesus. Do we help people to figure him out? Do we go with our testimony? Do we point everything in our lives and in other people's lives back to the Christ? Or do we turn sometimes and simply go, I'm a Jew, she's a Samaritan, I shouldn't talk, she's a woman. I'm a Christian, they're sinners, haven't got time for that. And I think that's really the challenge here. You know, it says in Revelation, and they overcame him, meaning the enemy, Satan, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God has done a divine work in each of our lives. He's revealed himself to us, and it's for us to reveal him to others. It's for us to help people figure out Jesus, as the title of today's devotional goes. I think sometimes we need to have an extra prayer to allow God, to ask God to allow us to see what he sees, to see the person as he sees them, to see the sinner, to see everyone, to see other Christians, to see people that we tend to judge as God sees them. And as C.S. Lewis says, it's not about what we intend to do with him or what are we to make of Christ, but what does he intend to do with us? Not us always, but also people around us, because God says very clearly, put first his kingdom and everything else is added unto you. So let's ask, let's pray today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to reveal to us his desire for people. Let's pray and ask today for God to come and show us in every situation and with people that we encounter to give us a supernatural vision of what he desires. Because as we've learned at church and in our discipleship programs, our will should be to do the will of God. Our desire should be to follow his will. Everything we do should be about what the Lord wishes and desires. So as we pray, ask ourselves, are we the kind of Christians who encourage? The Holy Spirit is the encourager. Christ is the encourager. And we are to imitate him. We are to be like him. He encourages. Do we encourage people around us? Do we affirm them? And if we struggle, let's ask God to show us why we struggle. It could be so many things that we struggle with ourselves that prevent us. But let's ask God to reveal that to us. If we are called to be like Jesus, He brought everyone to God. Are we helping people to believe in Jesus? Are we helping other Christians to be like Jesus? Or have we forgotten the wonder of it all? Have we forgotten what it was like when we first fell in love with our Savior? Have we forgotten that racing heart when we encountered the Holy Spirit, the excitement? And if we can remember that, let's pray that we could help someone else feel that. That we could help someone else come to the Lord. That we could help someone else with our testimony by sharing the word, by speaking truth into their lives. Let's pray for God's vision in every situation. Let's pray for any preconceived ideas or judgments to fall aside. Let's lay them at the feet of God. If there's someone in our lives that God has been leading us to minister to, but it's been really hard, let's pray about that as well. Let's pray that we're not acting like the Jews did to the Samaritans, no matter who the Samaritan is in our lives. Let's pray that we have God's love, that we have God's heart, because God is love. Spend a few minutes and pray for ourselves. Let's also pray for a spirit of boldness. Let's pray for faith. Let's pray for an extra measure of faith and boldness, that we would be able to stand up and be salt and light wherever we go. Let's also pray and ask God to reveal to us the people in our lives that need to figure out Jesus. Specifically, the people that we are meant to help on their walk. There's a lot of people that need to figure Jesus out, but Lord, the Lord has someone specifically, or a few specifically, that He wants us to come alongside, that He wants us to point out who Jesus is, that He wants us to help figure it out. Let's ask the Lord to reveal who those people are, that we may go forward from here and do His will. continue by praying for our church community. Our slides are up. We're going to pray against sickness. And let's pray very specifically against the work of the enemy. Let's ask the Lord to give us the exact words that we pray that hit the mark, that as we lift up each of these people, each of our brothers and sisters, that the Lord gives us supernaturally the ability to pray that our words would take out the enemy. Come against cancer, come against come against everything that comes against your kingdom, Lord. So Lord, we pray, Father God, for just supernatural, Father God. Relief, Lord, no pain. Lord, we lift up Mary Estrade's dad, her uncle. We lift up Pastor Sam's mentor, Pastor Sam's aunt. We lift up Pastor Keith. We lift up Archie's dad, Lois's back, Kevin Lee's dad, Evane's aunt. We lift up Cynthia. Lord, there is nothing that you cannot do. There is nothing that is too big or too small. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would reveal, Lord. Reveal yourself in your glory, Lord, because when you come, darkness flees, Lord. Darkness flees. Lord, we pray for the Chongs, Lord, their brother-in-law, Vince, Lord, Becky's mom, Lord, her surgery went well. Lord, her surgery went well, Lord, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Let's also pray for Rachel, for those of us that know our leader. She's one of the leaders at Solomon's Porch. You may know her personally. If you don't, let's please cover her. She's been ill with food poisoning. She's had to visit the hospital. And it's probably just an attack from the enemy. And we know our God is greater. Our God is greater than anything the enemy can bring. Greater is he that's living in her than he that is in the world. So let's lift up our sister and let's pray protection. Let's specifically pray for protection from the schemes of the enemy. Let's cover her. Let's battle for her spiritually. If you have a prayer language, I would urge you to pray in this, because we cover our leaders. The enemy does not get to attack our leaders and get away with it. Let's cover Rachel. Cover her family as well, her fiance, who's very worried about her. Lord, we offer up Rachel's sacrifice, Lord, her pain, Lord, her suffering, Lord. Lord, we offer it up as a living sacrifice before your throne, Lord. And we ask that you would use it for your glory, Lord. That you would come, Father God, Lord, and you would not only replace, but Lord, that you would bring restitution to what the enemy has stolen from her. Lord, come and bless our sister, Lord. Protect her, Lord. We ask for angels to guard her. To guard her, Father, that none of this has any power, Lord. The enemy has no power over her. Lord, she wars for your kingdom. She battles for your kingdom, Lord. And you are the banner that covers her, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for our sister, Lord. Let's move on to the next slide. Let's pray for illness and salvation. These are our brothers and sisters and their family members, people that we have been called to pray for. Let's lift each one of them up by name. Let's speak and proclaim the Lord's salvation in their lives, because the Bible says that the Lord gives us power in our tongue and in our spoken word. So let's speak salvation, let's speak life, let's speak healing into each one of these people, that they would have their own testimony as they begin to walk with the Lord, if they don't already. Let's also pray for our brothers and sisters who have infirmities, who are suffering. Let's cover them. And similarly, let's proclaim the Lord's goodness. Let's pray for holy visitation, for just divine impartation of healing. Because when the Lord comes, when He comes and touches, darkness has to flee, sickness has to leave. Let's pray that each one of them, each one of our brothers and sisters on this list, has a divine encounter with God. Because when He comes, He brings healing, He brings light, He brings joy. And there is no pain, no suffering. And as we pray for healing, let's also pray that this is a church that is able to point people to Jesus. The topic of our devotional today is figuring Jesus out. That as every single person on this list is healed, that other people, people in their spheres of influence, begin to figure Jesus out. Let's pray for His will and His kingdom to come. As we pray for healing, not just for relief of symptom, but for His kingdom to come here on earth. Let's Let's also pray for our brothers and sisters at the church who are currently looking for jobs. Money can be, finances can be very influential in our lives. And they can affect the way that we perceive things around us. Let's cover our brothers and sisters, that faith would rise up in them, that the Lord always has their back. Their finances are covered. They are provided for. Each and every one. Angela, Kevin, Jeff, Paul, Alice, Elaine, Aria, Elaine Lau, Tony, David, Ed, and John. Each one of them, there is a divine provision already in store for them. The Lord already has the job. Let's pray for His kingdom come now. Forceful prayer for our brothers and sisters that they would have the job that the Lord has set aside for them. Let's pray against any kind of anxiety, any kind of fear, stress, worry, doubt. Let's pray against doubt and bind that spirit, because that's what comes against God's chosen elect in these situations. Let's pray for faith to rise up in each one of them. Let's also cover our church. Let's cover our brothers and sisters who are serving today, this weekend. Let's cover the ministries. Let's cover everyone who is attending or participating or serving in a ministry. We've got the Febe, the Kupang, Singapore Mission Focus. Let's cover everyone who's involved with them. Let's pray that they would really hear from God and that they would have His heart. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray that our leaders would have God's heart and wisdom to raise up the next generation. Let's pray for SB families, marriages, protection over all families. Our weekend activities, let's cover each of them. And for the house churches that will meet over the weekend, let's pray for true koinonia, fellowship, unity. Unity breaks the back of the enemy. Let's speak unity over all the activities and everything going on at our church. That there would be no strife, no double-mindedness, but unity in our hearts and in our minds as we do the Lord's work. Let's cover each and every one. Let's cover the outreaches, Lord. The discipleship classes. So Lord, we lay all of this down before you, Lord. Every spoken word here today, Lord, every prayer, Lord, we lay it down at the foot of the cross, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a God who answers prayer, that it is your desire to partnership with us. Lord, we thank you that you have helped us to figure out who you are. And Lord, we ask that we would help others figure you out as well. Lord, we pray for everyone serving, Lord, that as they pour out, Lord, and serve out of their love relationship with you, that you would pour into us, that you would pour into everyone serving, that we would be vessels with big holes, Lord, that you fill us up with your love, and your love flows right out onto everyone that we meet, everyone that we know. Lord, we pray for the ministries, for the outreaches. Lord, we cover them, Lord. We cover them, Lord. We ask for angels to guard and protect everyone that goes forth and wars for your kingdom. Cover, Lord. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And we ask that you continue to speak to us as we continue to pray for our individual needs this morning. In Jesus' name.